All right, it comes in the form of sleepless nights and sickness, irritability, mental and emotional fatigue, drug and alcohol dependency, loss of appetite, physical and mental weariness, high blood pressure, frequent headaches, stomach problems, heart problems, migraines, ulcers, insomnia, and hypertension. Today we are talking about worry. And worry is one of those things that comes in all shapes and sizes. In fact, we worry about just about every area of our lives. We worry about our family, and we worry about our jobs, and we worry about our future, and worry about our past. And we look around, and oftentimes we see our lives consumed by worry. In fact, this week I got a little bit convicted. I was preparing my sermon to preach against worry, and I noticed that I was worrying as I was preparing this sermon, right? How in the world is that supposed to work, right? But we worry about just about every area of our lives. And that's why today we need to seek the counsel of God's Word when it comes to the subject matter of worry. Now, worry creates a feeling of hopelessness and disillusionment that undermines a person's sense of purpose and direction. And there's no doubt that many of us are not achieving all that God wants us to do in and because we are gripped by worry. Well, today we have some great words from the Lord Jesus on the subject matter of worry. And I want to direct our attention to the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6 this morning. If you want to grab that outline in your worship folder, and if you need a Bible underneath your chair, there is one there for you to follow along with us. But it's interesting, Jesus is preaching his most famous sermon, his most famous teaching in all of the Bible. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks more about the subject matter of worry than he does anything else in the entire Sermon on the Mount. In fact, if you go and you add up all the verses with all the things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 from the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see that Jesus talked more about worry than he did anything else. And it's interesting because even 2,000 years ago, people struggled with worry, and today we're still facing many of the same issues and problems. Jesus begins his teaching in verse 24 on the topic of money. Now, how interesting is that? Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was talking about worry, and he started his discussion as he talked about money. In fact, look at it in verse 24 of Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And money is interesting because if we don't have money, we worry about trying to get it. And then if we do have money, we worry about how we can hang on to it, right? And so we worry about money. And Jesus transfers this discussion in verse 25 when he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." Now, in verse 25, when we see that word "therefore," we always look at the preceding verse, because anytime there's a "therefore" in the Bible, we always have to ask ourselves the question, what's it there for, right? And so Jesus says in verse 25, "Therefore, do not worry." What's he talking about? He's talking about the verses before where he's talking about money. Many of us today, no doubt, are gripped with fear when it comes to the subject matter of money, and we are consumed by worry and fear and stress. And today we need counsel from God in order to help us to break free from that. So let's see what Jesus Christ has to say to us about the subject matter of worry. And we're going to look at four questions that Jesus answers in the passage. And the first question is, does worry help me honor God? Does worry help me honor God? In verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry." And that's in the imperative tense. Basically, Jesus is giving a command. He says it three times in Matthew chapter 6. But he says, "Do not worry." And we have a command from Jesus. Now, when we go against the commands of Jesus, the Bible calls that sin. So to worry is a sin, and oftentimes we associate sin as, you know, adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and things like that. But did you know that it is a sin against God to worry? Jesus says, do not worry. So does worry help me honor God? No, it doesn't do us any good, does it? And worry is a sin, And to worry is to think either that God cannot take care of us or that He will not take care of us. And both are not right. So if we worry, we don't honor the Lord. So how do we know for sure that God will take care of our needs? That's really the question today. I mean, all of us would like to say, man, I wish that I didn't worry about things, but if I just had a little bit more confidence in the Lord, if I just had a little bit more faith, or if maybe my life wasn't so difficult, maybe I wouldn't worry so much. Notice what Jesus talks about in verses 25 and 26. He answers the question of how does God provide for our needs. Now look at it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And verse 25, Jesus makes a statement. In verse 26, he gives an illustration for nature. But in verse 25, he says, now don't worry about your life. Now, most of us here today are not worried about if we're going to be able to eat lunch today. Okay, be people in biblical times, maybe so. Most of us today are not worried about, are we going to have clothes to wear tomorrow? Probably okay there. But we do worry about our life. And so you could plug in a number of different things here when Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about your prodigal son or daughter. Don't worry about your life. And so as we read that, we have to ask, well, you know, is Jesus saying that that's not that those things are not important? Absolutely not. But we can have uncertainty in our life and yet not worry. And that's where Jesus is headed with this discussion and the things that we're going to unlock as we continue to walk through this passage. Now, how does Jesus illustrate this? He says, now look at the birds of the air, right? Says, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet they have provision, right? We moved into our new house over here in Tollgate Crossing last October. And right after we moved in, I noticed that we had a major pigeon problem. We have a back patio area with a covering, and there was a brick ledge that ran all the way across the backside of the house, and the pigeons just loved that. I mean, this was like pigeon heaven, you know? They were like coming, they were calling their friends, you know, and they were lining up all the way across the back of my patio. Now, what's the problem when pigeons come to visit you? They always leave a mess, don't they? And it was disgusting. I was so mad, I started going out there and trying to shoo them away, screaming and yelling at them, you know? It didn't do much good. They ran off, then they would just come back. So I started talking to one of our neighbors. One of our neighbors said, Ryan, I've got the solution for you. What you need to do is you need to go over to Home Depot and you need to get a number of those little boards with the nails in it that they use to lay carpet, and you need to caulk those all the way across the brick little ledge, and the birds will hate that and they won't come back. So I was so proud of myself. I went over to Home Depot, I got all the materials, got up there in the ladder. I had this thing covered in nails. And you know what? The next day, all the birds were back. I think there were even more birds. They multiplied or something. And the birds, they were just trying to show us, hey, look, you're not in charge here. And there was even a bigger mess. I mean, they pooped all over my boards and nails. I was mad. I was angry. I was tempted to go get a BB gun, you know? I was upset. One of my other neighbors said, Ryan, I've got the solution for you. What you need to do is you don't need to put boards with nails. You need some rubber snakes. I thought, man, that's ingenious. So I went and I bought the nastiest, gnarliest looking viper snakes, like big, long snakes, and I coiled them up there, and I left the little boards up there with the nails, and I had all the snakes coiled up. They were mean looking snakes. You know, I would look up there and get scared sometimes, you know, as I was so proud, and I thought, oh, we've got this thing covered. We got this thing fixed. No more pigeons. I want to tell you, the next day I walked out, one of the pigeons had one of the snakes in his talons, and he flew off and dropped it in the yard. One of the snakes was missing. I still don't know where it went. And then there was this other bird up there looking at me with an attitude, and he was pooping right on the rubber snake as I was talking to him. He was like, I'm going to show you. I was mad. I was really tempted to go get a BB gun after that. And then I went and I thought, man, what am I going to do? I said, Gina, get on the internet and find, see if we can order some of those spikes, you know? See if we can put some of those spikes up there. So she did. She found some plastic spikes, and I was able to get those up there. And guess what? No more pigeons. I'm so glad about that. Our patio is much safer. It's much cleaner. Our kids can actually go out on the back patio now. Now, here's the deal. Birds are persistent. They are ornery. And they are disgusting and dirty. But I'll tell you what. Birds do not worry. When you watch a bird, when he gets hungry, what does he do? He goes and finds some dinner. When it's time to build a nest, he goes and gets some sticks and twigs and some grass and whatever he needs, and he makes a nest. And birds don't worry. And Jesus says we could learn a lot about life if we could look at the simplicity and the life of a bird. And we could watch how a bird doesn't worry, but just when he needs to do something, he just goes and does it, but he doesn't stress and he doesn't worry about it. And Jesus says, listen, are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? Are you not much more valuable than the pigeons or the sparrows or the blue jays or the robins? And Jesus is saying, hey, we are infinitely more valuable than even these animals, and yet we could learn so much from them when it comes to the area of worry. Now, how do we begin to break free from that worry? Well, we have to begin to trust God, don't we? To begin to trust God to provide for us. And as we trust God to provide for us, you know, it's interesting, when a bird is fed, he doesn't just open his mouth and have, you know, cosmic worms drop from heaven into his mouth by the Lord. God provides for the birds of the air through nature, right? There's insects, but that bird has to go get the insects. He has to go get the worms, and he has to go get the stuff to make his nest. And so waiting on the Lord and trusting God is not just idleness. It's not just sitting around on the couch saying, well, I guess I'm just going to wait and see what God, you know, does. No, to wait upon the Lord, as we're going to talk about next week, which I want to invite you back for part two of our series as we talk about how to wait on the Lord. But what we're going to see next week is that waiting on the Lord is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. So while we're working and while we're laboring and while we're, you know, we're setting goals and we're doing the things we need to do, we're also trusting in the Lord. And so trusting in the Lord doesn't mean that we are lazy or that we just wait around for God to do every single little detail for us. No, we've got to be involved in the middle of that. But Jesus says, look at the birds of the air and notice what they do. And he says, does worry make sense? Does worry make sense? And the answer to that is obviously no, right? It doesn't make sense. I mean, if the birds of the air don't worry, then why should we worry? Right? It's not logical. It doesn't make sense, right? And the question is, well, why do we do it so much, right? Why are we so good at worrying? That's the problem, right? And so worry doesn't honor God, and it doesn't make sense. But you know what? There's even a third thing. There's a third question. Look at this. Does worry make things better? Now, if we could add up all the worry, if we could somehow condense all of the worry in this room and put it in a box, we'd have the power to conquer the world, wouldn't we? I mean, it would be amazing. And we worry so much about things because we think that worry somehow is going to make things better. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we have to admit that worry has never fixed a problem. Worry has never healed a relationship. Worry has never changed our financial situation. Worry has never made us feel better. In fact, it's going to make us feel worse. Worry doesn't help do anything. And notice what Jesus said about this in verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In other words, will life become better? Will life become longer? Will life become more fulfilling if we could just worry about it? You know, and sometimes we say, golly, I'm going to just worry about it. You know, and we worry, you know, and we worry more, and then we pace around. You know, we do all this, and we worry. And we think somehow that that's going to make everything get into a more positive situation. That's not true. No, Jesus says, you can't even add 1 hour to your life. That's interesting. A University of Michigan study found this. It determined that 60% of worries are unwarranted. 20% have already come and gone. They're already past activities. We can't do anything about it anyway. It already happened. And 10% are so petty that they don't make any difference at all. And then of the remaining 10%, 4 to 5% are real and justifiable. And of those, we can't do anything about half of those. So only about 2 to 3% of our worries are really real. Now, what if we could reduce our worry by 98%? We would think that the quality of our life had gotten a lot better, wouldn't we? How about that? So does worry make things better? No, of course not. The American Institute of Stress indicated that in a study they conducted that 75 to 90% of all visits to a primary care physician resulted from stress-related problems. You know, we're sick, we're ill, we don't feel good. Why? Because we're stressed out, we're worried, we're consumed. You know, our mind is in a thousand places and we can't stay focused on what we're trying to do. But worry doesn't make anything better. Now, what if we could turn our worry into prayer? Now, that's productive. What about if every time we begin to worry about something, we begin to talk to God about it, we begin to pray about it? That's what Paul wrote about in the Philippian letter when he said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." How about that? So what we need to do is we need to take that worry and begin to turn that into prayer. And then we need to let the peace that passes all understanding begin to guard our heart and our mind. And we're going to talk about that in one of the other talks in this series in the coming weeks. We're going to get into the Philippian letter. But worry doesn't make sense. It doesn't make things better. And we need to pray about it. And when we pray about it, then you know, we'll be a lot more productive with that energy than we would be if we just sat around being consumed. All right, so here we go. Here's our test. Does worry make things better? No. All right. Does worry make sense? No. Does worry honor God? No. Man, you guys are so smart today. I can't believe this. Incredible. All right, what about number four? Does worry express my faith? Does worry express my faith? Yeah, look at this in verse 31 and 32. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus says this: if you say you're a follower of Jesus, you say you're a believer, and yet you worry all the time, you really live like an unbeliever. And that doesn't make sense. That's hypocrisy. So for a Christian to be consumed by worry is illogical. It doesn't make sense, right? We're not living out our faith. We're not really, we say we believe in God, but do we really? You know, we have to ask ourselves the question. And a lot of people today claim to be followers of Jesus, but live a life of practical atheism. In other words, we don't see God as the provider for us. We don't trust the Lord. We see our life as just being one that is lived by the pursuit of our own destiny, and whatever we achieve is going to be up to me, and God's not involved. Everything's about me and what I can do and what I can achieve and so forth and so on. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians live that way. Now, if you're an atheist, you have a lot to worry about. You definitely do. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a lot to not worry about, because you trust in the one who created the heavens and the earth. And regardless of how much uncertainty is in your life, you know that the God that created the heavens and the earth is in your heart and in your life. And so we have to trust in the Lord and believe in Him. So worry doesn't express my faith. And by the way, if you're going through some really, really strong, difficult circumstances right now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the incredible opportunity to show people what faith is really all about, don't you? I mean, the Bible talks about being the light of the world, okay? The salt of the earth. When a Christian is under pressure and stress and turmoil, and he or she decides to trust in the Lord and to not be consumed by worry and fear, what an opportunity to share what God has done in our life with our community. That's the Christian's greatest moment. So don't live like a pagan. Don't live like an unbeliever. If you're consumed by worry and you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you're being hypocritical. Don't do it. Stop it. So it doesn't honor God. So the question is, well, then how do I stop worrying? And we often think that worry is something that comes from the outside. If my circumstances were different, if my life were different, I wouldn't worry so much. You know, the reality is, worry comes from the inside. Worry is not about the outside. We're always going to have stress. We're always going to have problems. There's always going to be adversity. That's part of living in a fallen world. But the hope that we have comes from the inside. And when we begin to trust and to follow what Jesus has talked to us about in verses 33 and 34, then our stress begins to be alleviated and relieved. So look at this. What are we to do? The Bible says we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, Jesus, the whole culmination of His teaching on worry comes down to these final two verses. And what does Jesus say the remedy is? He says, real transformation, living free from worry, begins by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all these things be added unto you. In other words, when our focus is on the Lord, when our focus is on God and His kingdom and His righteousness, then the other things just begin to fall into place. The other things just begin to happen. Unfortunately, we try to press and we try to force all the other things to happen on our own initiative without seeking the Lord. Here's the whole solution. Here's where this whole thing comes together, guys. When we begin to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it begins to take our focus off of ourselves, begins to put our focus on the Lord, and if we're really honest about it, a lot of our worry comes from selfish desires. We feel sorry for ourselves. We're consumed with ourselves. We want our life to be this way. We wish we had what they had. And a lot of our worry is centered around selfishness. What if our life was something that was just so focused on the Lord and so focused on God and on His kingdom that was the chief aim, the focus of our lives? And then the Bible says when you focus on those things, these other things just begin to fall into line. All right? So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things, they'll be added unto you. And the Bible says, now don't worry about tomorrow. You can't do anything about tomorrow right now. Tomorrow will take care of itself. By the way, there's enough things to do today, right? Let's just focus on what we can do today, and we'll worry about tomorrow, right? But look at it. Now, what is God's kingdom? Kingdom living is being concerned with our friends and neighbors having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's about the work of God in the lives of other people. It's about the kingdom of God spreading. That's why the Edge Church is a place where people love to bring their friends. Because when people bring their friends, they experience the life-changing grace of Jesus Christ, which is what our church is all about. And by the way, when you come to the Edge Church by yourself, if you come for long, you're going to feel uncomfortable, because this is just a place where people love to bring their friends. And they love to bring their friends because they love the worship and they love the teaching and they love to see people come to know Jesus Christ personally. Isn't that great? That's about the kingdom of God. What if the focus of our life was on reaching others instead of just our own pity party? What if the focus of our life was on what we could do to serve our community and to bless other people rather than what all of our problems were? Now, when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right living. That's living in accordance with the Bible. That's living right. That's living lives of integrity and character and honesty and lives that honor God. And see, when our life just begins to honor God and we begin to live in right relationship with God and with others, then all these things shall be added unto you. I think we've got our focus so much on circumstances instead of on the Lord, and then we worry why we are so stressed out and so consumed all the time. Jesus says, no, we've got it all backwards. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. We live for my comfort and my wealth and my status and my reputation and my power. rather than for God's kingdom. You know, today, actually, in just a few minutes, we're going to baptize some people. By the way, we do have warm water out there. Just want to let you know that. We figured that out this morning. And if you'd like to be baptized, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a little bit. In fact, we have some extra clothes here for you and some towels and stuff if you'd like to be baptized. But you know why baptism is so cool? Baptism is so awesome because it represents the life transformation in a person's heart. Baptism doesn't make us a Christian. It just shows that we are one. And everybody around us gets to celebrate what God has done in our lives when they see people get baptized. So what a great way to begin a brand new church other than to see people get baptized. Isn't that good? And maybe you'd like to be baptized today. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to do that and to respond in just a moment. But the reason that baptism is so important is because life transformation is one of the values of the Edge Church. And we really believe that if people can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that life can be transformed. And man, God begins to do a work. And that's where we begin to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and let all those things be added unto us. So let's be concerned about God and the needs of others and be focused on that. And you may be thinking, well, you know, Ryan, I'm doing that, man. I'm stressed out. I'm worried. I really feel like that I am focused on God's kingdom and right living, you know, at least the best that I know how to, the best that I can. And maybe today you just need some encouragement. Maybe you just need to be reminded about what Jesus said about those birds and looking at the birds of the air, man, and the lilies of the field as Jesus talked about. And maybe you just need to see God's provision in nature, and you need to be reminded of how God's going to provide for you. Are you not much more valuable than they, Jesus said. And then also Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in heavens. Now, did He say some of our needs? Part of our needs? No, He said all of our needs, right? God knows every need you have. He knows your need even before you know it. So you're not going to tell God anything He doesn't already know. He is. So be encouraged today. And when we're tempted to obsess over something, we need to transfer our devotion. Instead of living for our own ambition, we need to transfer our devotion to the Lord. Now, we can do something today about worry besides just trying to stop worrying. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm a worry wart, so I'm just going to quit worrying. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying, stop worrying and change your focus to be on the Lord and on His kingdom. And I promise you, that is a much more effective solution than just trying to stop worrying, right? So let's just stop trying to quit worrying and let's begin seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then to let the Lord add all these things unto us. All right, so here's our pop quiz. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Does worry help me honor God? No. All right. Does worry make sense? Does worry make things better? Does worry help me express my faith? No. Then why are you worrying? What are you worried about? Why worry, right? So let's seek first the kingdom of God and let's quit worrying. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. God, we come before You today. We bring our anxieties and our troubles and our heartaches to You, God. We thank You for being a Lord and a God that is concerned with every single detail of our life, every struggle, God. We thank You for that, and today we want to just realign our lives with the purposes of Your kingdom. Today, God, we want to live for others. We want to be people that are focused on serving others and loving others and making our community a stronger and a better place. And God, we want our attention to be on that stuff, not on all of our problems and all of our troubles and all the stuff that makes us depressed all the time. So God, we turn to You today and we give You our allegiance and our heart, and we ask You today to give us the strength and the wisdom and the will that we need to serve You. And Lord, I know that in a room like this, there may be those that have never committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And maybe you today maybe have never made Jesus the master and commander of your life. And maybe today you'd like to step across the line of faith and say yes to Him and begin a relationship with the God of the universe through His Son, Jesus. If you'd like to do that today, would you just pray this prayer silently where you are and just open your heart to the Lord and just say, God, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray You'd forgive my sins and that You'd make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.